WCBC Sports. This is Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC and brought to you by the Kensington Assisted Living on Baltimore Street in Cumberland and the Country House, specializing in Alzheimer's care on Cumberland Street in downtown Cumberland. Saturday Morning Quarterback hosts are Roxione and Dr. Jim Zamias and the WCBC Sports team with lots of information about the week in sports.
Good morning, Saturday Morning Quarterback on this beautiful October morning. Good luck to everybody involved with the great Allegheny run. They have a perfect day for it. I'm Jim Zamias, along with Garrett Egan, Mike Conley, Brad Reed, Tony Orndorff. Hello to our friend Roxione. He's enjoying his grandsons up in Massachusetts doing things like bands and cross country and soccer. So it's all great, expanding his universe up there in Massachusetts. As always, we're going to start with the scoreboard. Mike Conley, take it away.
Thanks very much, Jim. Last night on 1270 WCBC, Murray 49, Allegheny 26. On Classic Hits 107, Frankfort 41, Mountain Ridge 6. Bridgeport 49, Fort Hill 14. Two losses in a row for the Sentinels. Fort Hill plays Mountain Ridge this Friday. Northern 35, Hampshire 21. Kaiser 34, Weir 6. Southern 19, Berkeley Springs 13. Allegheny plays Southern this Thursday evening. Morgantown 28, Wheeling Park 7. Doddridge County 21, Petersburg 7. Boonesboro 41, Williamsport 27. Century 19, North Hagerstown 14. Albert Gallatin 62, Clear Spring 27. Patuxent 28, Leonardtown 7. And Perryville 42, Rising Sun 8. Last night in college football, BYU 38, WVU 24. And today in college football, Boston College at Pitt at noon, Penn State at UCLA at 3:30, Boise State at Notre Dame at 3:30, and also at 3:30, Washington is at Maryland.
Mike, repeat that Northern score one more time, please.
Northern 35, Hampshire 21.
All right, it's now time for the two-minute warning. And here we go.
We have reached the two-minute warning.
Two-minute warning.
We're coming upon the two-minute warning.
Now to bring us to the two-minute warning.
Two-minute warning.
Last voice, Al Michaels, Tony?
Yes.
All right, you got the timer?
Pat Summerall's in there. Vern Lundquist is in there. I do have the timer.
There went all our time.
We got it. The timer
well,
hasn't started yet.
We do like Vern
yet.
Lundquist. It's all good.
All right,
take it.
You want me to go?
I do.
All right, Southern, Clear Spring, Mountain Ridge, Northern, Southern. Those are the five wins that the three county schools have so far this year. Two for Mountain Ridge, one for Allegheny, two for Fort Hill in that order. Allegheny last night, a long road trip, too much for them to handle. Fort Hill gashed on with a team running the ball at them 47 times. Mountain Ridge looked good in parts against Frankfort, but they're very impatient. They would not go with what worked. Tried to hit a couple of home run balls, and they threw interceptions instead.
Brad.
In 2023, Mountain Ridge beat Frankfort 24-14. In the last 2 years, the score combined, Frankfort 90, Mountain Ridge 18.
Michael?
Last night, our 85th venue in our many years here at WCBC, a nice place down there in Chevy Chase, and we found out last night Murray will come next year to Cumberland to play Allegheny, but Allegheny will be losing two opponents from this year. Hollidaysburg and Albert Gallatin will not be on the schedule next year.
Daggone Pennsylvania conferences messing us up down here. Garrett?
How about the two Garrett County schools? Northern winning over Hampshire 35-21. Southern squeaking by Berkeley Springs 19-13. For all those of you, meaning me, that follow Hampshire so closely, it seems like Hampshire just cannot stop a good running team defensively, and that trend continued last night.
Did you say Fort Hill can't stop a good running team or Hampshire?
I thought I said Hampshire.
Okay. All right.
Both can be true.
Both can be true.
28 seconds.
Thank you. All right. Getting into numbers here, hopefully nobody else has this. Mountain Ridge, Fort Hill, and Allegheny were defeated last night 139-46. That's a 46-15 average. Does that say more about Allegheny County football or more about the opponents they play? I think they've had very challenging schedules thus far.
Yes.
And one bit of good news, 1A looks pretty weak. So
That's our time.
What was that?
That's the was next... that Doink the Clown's entrance music?
If only.
Wow. All right. So many noises.
Yes.
So many emojis. So, all right, that'll do it for this.
There were no emojis at all.
Yes. As okay. we continue to give a hard time to the man who thought up the very show we're on and his two-minute warning. All right. Thank you for that, and your calls are welcome, 301-722-825. It's Saturday Morning Quarterback. When we come back, we're going to talk about our trip to the DMV, as Chris said during the weather yesterday, once or twice. We'll be right back on Saturday Morning Quarterback.
When the diagnosis is Alzheimer's, the decisions are difficult. Fortunately, there's Country House. Hi, this is Nicole King. Our staff are trained to provide comfort, reassurance, and 24-hour care, 301-777-8717.
Riverside Sports has you covered from head to toe for spring sports, including softball, baseball, track, little league, and tennis. They carry hats, socks, pants, and uniforms, and offer team discounts, too. They also have the largest selection of balls and bats in the area, in stock and ready to go. Riverside Sports has everything your team needs from the dirt up, even in the field maintenance supplies and field signs. Why go anywhere else when you can get it all at Riverside Sports, 940 Kelly Road, where your team identity comes to life.
Is your credit so bad that even your grandma won't loan you money?
Ah, come on, Grandma.
No, not one more penny.
T&D Motors is here to help you. Bad credit, no credit, it doesn't matter. T&D can put you behind the wheel today. Bring in your driver's license, pay stubs, and a proof of residence, and T&D Motors will take it from there. T&D Motors can put you in a car when nobody else can. Stop by one of our two locations, Route 36 Georges Creek or Route 220 in Bel Air. Apply online now at dd-motors.com. T&D Motors.
You're approved.
Blank brings out the offense, turns, he wants to pass, the same pass to the other side, he's got a man, into the seam, and all the way down for the touchdown is number 3, Aiden McKenzie.
A highlight from last night in high school sports here on WCBC. Now, back to Saturday Morning Quarterback.
It was a great call by Garrett Egan. Glad he was able to do play-by-play yesterday. It was wonderful. Well, we had a good time down there, Allegheny Murray, and to describe the neighborhood it's tucked into, it's sort of like if you drive through Shadyside or Squirrel Hill in Pittsburgh or any extensive neighborhood, just make a few turns, here's some houses, all of a sudden, and they have this park carved out, and it was very nice. And the AD was not exaggerated. One set of bleachers went up 3 rows. And we were tucked into the corner, so we were in the shade the whole time. But the person running the scoreboard did not know how to operate down, distance, and what yard line it was on. So we were making our best guesses. But we certainly nailed all the touchdown plays, etc. And just overall, Garrett, the atmospherics, we had a good time down there.
It was. It was a nice atmosphere, their homecoming. And when we first got there, I was thinking, you know, this is a private school. There's probably not going to be a whole lot of homecoming type atmosphere. But as we got closer to the game and then throughout the game, more and more people kind of filed in, filtered in. We had kids standing in front of us. They were boxing out Mike Connolly trying to do the stats. But it was pretty obvious that they were not used to a radio broadcast team being there, because as people walked by, they kind of like did a double take on us, like, oh, you're broadcasting the game. Really liked the atmosphere. I was a little bit concerned when we were driving down, as I said, that I was like, oh, man, the GPS took us the wrong way, because I don't see any sort of, you know, you look for lights. And out of nowhere, you kind of saw the netting. It reminded me of the old Kavanaugh nets on the left field wall. And I was like, okay, we got here. Very nice venue. And for the first half, it was a very entertaining game.
Brad, let me turn to you for a minute. You work down there in Washington County. And the atmosphere is a little bit like St. James, but I think St. James is a longer football tradition. So football is one of many things they do at this school. One of many. It's not the thing that they do. And so I think we're surrounded by very well-meaning people who really have no clue what it means to run a football game. And I think you probably run into some people down in Washington County a little bit like that, maybe when you get into Frederick County. You want to talk about that?
Yeah, I understand what you're talking about. I always think that, like, with St. James, they obviously they know how to run a football game, but it's always like there's a picnic and a football game broke out.
Right.
So that's kind of what I think what you're describing there. You know, it's a social gathering. And oh, by the way, there's a football game going on over here. Is somebody watching that?
That's perfect. Mike, we certainly had a great time down there. It was a challenge to do it, but we were in the shade. We really had nobody bothering us. There were people just walking by, and then you tap them on the shoulder. Excuse me, could you please move to the left? Oh, you know.
I was missing two things, a referee shirt and a whistle, because I kept moving with my arm because, like you say, we were looking right down the field, and they would just stand there almost in the end zone. And I'm thinking they have enough room around us or even on the side, but very hospitable, you know, get along with. I mean, the head coach was, you know, cooperative, and anyone you went to asking for directions here and there and everything. And when we first got there, the baseball field, they had that box behind the pitcher's mound as far as going to plug into that. I
right.
thought, oh, dear Lord, do we have enough cord? But we went to the auxiliary building behind us, and that's where we plugged in.
So they have an AstroTurf baseball field next to the AstroTurf football soccer field. And so, yeah, the maintenance guy, right at the pitcher's mound, the rubber, 60 feet, 6 inches from home plate, there's this carved-out box, and he lifts up the turf, and underneath there's a plug. And it was interesting. It really was. Tony, before we get to the specifics, more important thing, the Allegheny football team, any thoughts about our discussion about this setting? Brad's... there was a picnic and a football game broke out. I love that.
That, you know, there's a little remnant. It's not the same atmosphere last night at Frankfurt, but that was like a music festival that a football game broke out in because it was homecoming, and there's all this sort of extra stuff there as well. It's interesting when you go to parts of the state that don't do football the way we do football, because you're not even aware of the things that other people aren't aware of that we do. I actually had a question getting into the football stuff, because Garrett mentioned it was a good first half, and I was wondering if we youth guys thought the travel was maybe a factor in Allegheny wearing out toward the during the second half.
I'm not going to buy that.
Okay,
it was just they don't have enough players. I mean they give it their all. They play both ways. We talked about it. I don't know if we talked about it on air, but certainly on the way home. I mean. They were worn out. There were times they would sag, and the one time they fumbled it deep in Murray territory, and Murray just went downfield quickly. And Garrett's a lot to keep up with for Allegheny as they lost 49-26. That team was something else. That quarterback throwing for 300 yards, running for 100 yards, and then his receivers were something else. It was a lot for Allegheny to deal with.
It was. And with low numbers, you have guys that are playing both ways. And for Murray, every other play, they're running in different skill guys. Like the quarterback was the same. They'd have the same wide receiver, but they were running in fresh players. And when you're playing both ways and you're facing off against a team that has the athletes that Murray did, that's a lot to ask for a full four quarters. Murray was very, very good. The first half, Coach Hansel talked about it, that, you know, this is a team that's defensively not going to see the wing tee a whole lot, so we have to be efficient on that. Allegheny was. But they just kind of ran out of gas in the second half, and then piggybacking on that, compounding on that, playing against a team that had so many athletes. They had size, they had speed, they could jump, and the quarterback threw such a good ball where he would take the snap out of the shotgun and just not even look for his receiver. He was just throwing to a specific part down the field, and he trusted in his receiver to be there, and 9 times out of 10, the receiver was there and ready for the ball.
To give us some understanding, since we didn't get to watch the game live, apparently the broadcast crew wasn't there telecasting this one. Better or worse than, like, Hollidaysburg? Where do they rank at this team?
That would be a good game. That would be a very good game. But that's a tough one. That's almost a toss-up, because Hollidaysburg is more traditional. I don't know if Hollidaysburg would be able to cut. It would be a very high-scoring game. I don't think Allegheny moved the ball, especially in that first half, until they kind of ran out of gas in that second half. That would be very close. It really would be. And, you know, we're just talking about, Brad, we've talked about passing games. And Allegheny, they've brought out the waggle again a week or two ago. I didn't see it yesterday. But they're throwing all kinds of different pass patterns. They had a halfback option pass that Aiden McKenzie threw. And then they threw some seam passes to their running backs. And to me, that's Allegheny's offense at its best in the all these years of the wing T, when the halfbacks come out and they hit them in stride. And they hit Imani Blow. I think they hit Keontae Bible. I think they hit Aiden McKenzie. When I say a seam route, on the hash marks. And that's one play we could see from our venue. And it's interesting then to go back to Fort Hill, Brad. So we have all these cool pass plays that Fort Hill and Allegheny are doing this year, and they're a combined 3-6. Again, they're playing very good teams. But it's really weird as the passing game improves, there's other factors of the game.
Well, I was thinking about the fact that the schools here do not run the spread offense.
Right.
So we do not really practice against the spread offense as a defense. So how do you get better at it? Who's the expert at defending the spread around here? What coach? What organization? I don't know, because it just doesn't really exist here.
Yeah, and Brad, the other thing I want to mention, you have said that the quarterback maybe should be the best player on the field. This guy was, this Tristan Johnson. I mean, he threw for 343 and four touchdowns. He ran for 102 and two touchdowns. There was no answer because he could do things.
Well, we've talked before about baseball, and you would bat your best hitter at maybe four or right. three, and now you bat him at one. Get him the most number of hits, I think. You know, put your best player batting first because he can turn the order over. Same thing with the offense. If you have your best player handling the ball in every situation, you got a chance to make something happen.
Mike, you keep our stats, and the one thing, Dylan Blank has been a good ball handler, quarterback for Allegheny. He's thrown the ball beautifully. As far as really getting the passing game going, I have not seen that in a while. But, Mike, does he run the ball at all? Do you have any rushing statistics ever for Dylan?
Well, last night he was 5 carries for minus 33 yards because he was sacked 3 times.
Right.
You know, but, I mean, other than that, I mean, he has a decent running game, but distributing the ball. Last week he threw the ball 11 times with 7 completions. Last night he was 4 of 9, 160, 1 touchdown, 1 interception. So, I mean, he throws the ball well, as you pointed out. But as far as rushing, yeah, when he has the time, you know, and besides Murray having a great offense, or defense was everywhere last night.
Yeah. Gary, what other thoughts do you have about the game we did last night?
With the quarterback of Murray, he just reminded me of a young Lamar Jackson. I mean, he was tall, he was athletic, he could make defenders miss. Allegheny threw everything they had at him, but again, and it goes back to them being gassed, them having to play both ways, these untimely errors continue to kind of plague Allegheny. They had a good tempo going, they came up with a stop, they marched down the field, you know, they get a bad punt, what have you, and then, you know, they turn the ball over, and just while I'm, you know, we're calling the game, I look down the sideline, and Coach Hansel, you know, hands on his knees, just can't, you know, it's very deflating, because you get the guys ready, and they're playing their hardest, and these sort of miscues happen because of, you know, being gassed, because of being tired, and they come at the worst possible times. That second half, you could just tell that Murray had too many numbers, they had too much at their disposal, and Allegheny did everything they could, it just... they were just playing a better team.
Yeah. Tony, any thoughts?
I think the Southern game now for Allegheny looms large to try to get moving in the right direction as they, you know, they're going to be in a playoff. You know, everybody that we've been talking about, Fort Hill, Allegheny, Mountain Ridge, they're going to be in the playoffs. Let's try to get something moving in a positive direction, heading that way. And, you know, and I wouldn't have any doubts that they'll take care of Southern, but I think you want cleanup mistakes. For that game, the outcome may not be as important. The outcome's important, but a messy win isn't really what you want to see if you're Allegheny. Clean up mistakes, clean up the kinds of things that are getting in your way.
And I think that Southern game provides a nice stepping stone towards the Kaiser game the following week. I think that's one that we've kind of had circled this year, and how both teams have kind of managed their schedules. That's a big game in our local area in 2 weeks. And it's going to be one that we have here on WCBC. And right now, it seems like both of those teams are kind of evenly matched. So for, Allegheny have to clean up things, have to kind of build that stepping stone towards the Kaiser game, because for both teams, that's a big one in the big picture of both their schedules.
Yeah, and Allegheny did look better. They did look much better than the week before. Again, it's the schedule they're playing in Fort Hill. It's the same thing as the schedule they're playing. And the good news is your record can be whatever it is. Fort Hill went into the playoffs 2-7 last year and won a state title. So because in Maryland everybody gets in the playoffs, there are some benefits to playing this tough schedule for all the Maryland schools. Whereas in West Virginia, you have to weigh it because you have to get in that top 16 somehow. So at any rate, good job by Allegheny, and Murray's coming up here next year, as Mike Conley reports. So that is good news. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the Fort Hill Bridgeport game. You're listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC.
Blank brings out the offense, turns, he wants to pass, same pass to the other side, he's got a man, into the seam, and all the way down for the touchdown is number 3, Aiden McKenzie.
Don't let car repairs scare you. Add mechanical repair coverage to your next vehicle loan at WEPCO Federal Credit Union and drive with confidence. This affordable protection plan helps you avoid scary repair bills and unexpected costs. Call 800-292-8139 or visit WEPCOFCU.com for all the details. Vehicle must qualify for MRC. MRC may not cover all vehicle repairs.
Everything we do.
Hi, this is Nicole King from the Kensington Assisted Living in Cumberland. We offer a comfortable, safe place to call home for those who need a little extra help or want a carefree lifestyle. 301-777-8800.
Riverside Sports has you covered from head to toe for spring sports, including softball, baseball, track, little league, and tennis. They carry hats, socks, pants, and uniforms, and offer team discounts too. They also have the largest selection of balls and bats in the area, in stock and ready to go. Riverside Sports has everything your team needs from the dirt up, even in the field maintenance supplies and field signs. Why go anywhere else when you can get it all at Riverside Sports, 940 Kelly Road, where your team identity comes to life.
At UPMC Hillman Cancer Center, when it comes to cancer care, it should be life-changing. As a National Cancer Institute designated comprehensive cancer center, we provide groundbreaking treatments and innovative clinical trials with renowned cancer specialists and a compassionate support system for patients and their families. Discover more at upmchillman.com/life-changing-care.
This is Saturday Morning Quarterback on 1270 AM, 103.1 FM. Let's check what happened last night in high school sports.
Good morning, Saturday Morning Quarterback. Your calls are welcome at 301-722-8255. Bridgeport 49, Fort Hill 14. That's painful to even say a score like that. Tony, any word from sources? What do you got?
Sources were pleased. They thought Fort Hill actually played hard the whole time, didn't give up, didn't pack it in the second half. The passing game, thought looked better, looked improved. The problem is rush defense, and it was the problem the previous week, and it was the problem this week. What was it, 451 yards rushing on 47? I mean, it's just, that's not fancy. That's not, we can't cover speedy wideouts. That's just line it up and pound you in the mouth, and Fort Hill was on the business end of that last night.
Brad, the Fort Hill narrative is always, we'll outwork you in the weight room. You will not push us around. We will impose our will. And now two straight weeks the other way. And, again, Fort Hill's a 1A school in Maryland, so we don't want to be overly dramatic about this. But the narrative is certainly changing this fall.
Absolutely. You kind of saw this coming if you knew anything about the Bridgeport program. It's a very dominant program, and they switched to the single wing.
Single wing, yeah.
In, like, 2022, I think it said in the paper. I think if you follow Bridgeport, you know anything about them, they're maybe a class above Fort Hill, obviously in terms of size. What we keep waiting for is Fort Hill to go into that into the booth, put the cape on, and come out and be Superman. When is that going to happen? I thought it would happen last week. I wasn't hopeful for this week, but at some point in time, it has to happen. I think they have to turn it on here.
Here's what will help them come out of the booth. The schedule.
Yeah.
They're at home the rest of the year. Mountain Ridge, North Hagerstown, which will be interesting. They have just one loss. Smithsburg, which right now is number one in 1A West. So who knew that game would have ramifications?
The Leopards.
Yes. And Allegheny. So that should help matters. And it's been an interesting schedule. And you know what, Mike? It's one of those years where both Fort Hill and Allegheny are playing a lot of these out-of-town schools who happen to have real up years. And that's one of the problems. You know, sometimes you schedule a team, they're having a down year. All these schools, like Albert Gallatin for Allegheny, they're having up years, and that makes it tough.
Well, when was the last time at midseason that both Allegheny and Fort Hill were below 500?
And Mountain Ridge. Yeah.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
Wow. Garrett?
Yeah, listening to Brad talk and you guys talk, started this segment, it's almost like a team like Bridgeport out Fort Hilled Fort Hill. Mm-hmm. You talked about imposing your will, hitting you between the tackles. And, you know, again, it's the schedule. And this is a quote-unquote down year for Fort Hill by their standards. And with this gauntlet of a schedule that they have put up or posted or scheduled, things are kind of dicey right now. The best news is they're a 1A team, like you mentioned. They're going to make the playoffs, and they're going to be better long-term. The only thing that concerns me, and it's not just playing these teams, I don't think the schedule weighs into this, but the injuries, I think, long-term are going to be a big deal because Noah House, again, was injured last night. Several players were banged up. And you talk about going into the playoffs, going into the postseason, if some of these guys can't get healthy, that's going to be a real cause for concern.
Well, and this morning was the first time I looked at the 1A point standings. So, you know, we're midway through the season. In 1A South, Havre de Grace is the number one team. 1A North, Pikesville and Boonesboro. Well, Boonesboro's played well, but Northern killed them last year down there. And then we go to 1A East, which never used to be that interesting, but it is now. Good old Cambridge South Dorchester, I think, is winless, so forget them. It's Snow Hill, Patuxent, who beat Dunbar in the 1A, 2A title game last year, whatever class was, and good old Perryville. There is nobody that is unbeaten in 1A in the state of Maryland. Nobody. Unless it's Smithsburg. No, Smithsburg, I think, has the loss. So at any rate, if you're a 1A team, you get beat by other people. It doesn't mean you can't emerge with a state title.
But it looks like Fort Hill's probably going to be on the road.
You mean if they get through 1A West?
Correct.
We'll see. The point standings, yeah, they're below those other teams right now. But when you say on the road, how many weeks are you actually on the road? We get down to, what, a final
two.
Eight?
Two.
Okay.
Right.
So last year, what did we have? There's 5 weeks
of
playoffs
We went to Clear Spring.
Perryville, that was 1A West.
Perryville and Cambridge South Georgia.
Right,
but
then
in
the
terms
title
of
game.
In terms of going away, so to speak, yeah. Once over the Bay Bridge and once into Delaware, wherever we were.
Ethiopia.
Oh my goodness! All right. Well, at any rate, again, the fact Fort Hill's in 1A, Allegheny's in 1A, and Coach Hansel has properly pointed out, hey, we can get one of the top three seeds in 1A West. So a lot of football to be played, and it's been a season like no other, or at least in a long time. I think it's the first time Fort Hill has been at 2-3 since 2001. I think that's what I read.
I think you were talking about narrative. I think the narrative ends up getting it will be results oriented. If Fort Hill does what they do consistently, which is go and win a state championship, everyone's going to look back and say these tough teams. This was a great thing to schedule. It really made them ready to play. If it doesn't work out, people will go back and look at the schedule and they'll draw other conclusions. So we'll see how it goes. But they, you know, they went on the road last year for the playoffs and were fine. It's not unusual for Fort Hill to take the parts of the regular season to figure out their identity and figure out how
right.
they want to go. It's not unprecedented. And I think being home now for the remainder until the playoffs, we'll start seeing that.
Yeah, and another interesting point, Braylon Younger, 2 catches for 96 yards last night. So, again, both Allegheny and Fort Hill getting those running backs out in the passing game is a great thing. Mike Conley, it's time for the scoreboard. Let's do it.
All right, Jim, last night, Murray 49, Allegheny 26, Frankfort 41, Mountain Ridge 6, Bridgeport 49, Fort Hill 14, Northern 35, Hampshire 21, Kaiser 34, Weir 6,
Southern 19, Berkeley Springs 13, and last night in college football, BYU 38, WVU 24.
All right, thank you very much, Mike. Your calls are welcome. We're going to take a break. You're listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC.
WCBC.
Temperatures are dropping, leaves are falling, and those orange pumpkins are beginning to show up throughout the community, which means the Pumpkin Patch Express is on the rails. Wes Hines, executive director of the railroad, spoke with WCBC News about the Pumpkin Patch train and how tickets for the train have been lowered this year to encourage local families to climb aboard.
You know, they may struggle for different reasons throughout the year, and we've changed our prices to reflect that. We actually dropped the prices this year so we could encourage more families to come out, but you know, make a day of it. Come out, come to the Pumpkin Patch, ride the train, and then experience Baltimore Street, experience everything that's down there around Canal Place. We have so many great things to do in Cumberland, and that the railroad gets to serve as a catalyst for families coming into the Allegheny County region.
That's Newsbreak. I'm Chris Myers for WCBC News, reminding you to remember the time you spent listening to 1270 AM, 103.1 FM, and streaming worldwide at WCBCRadio.com.
Riverside Sports has you covered from head to toe for spring sports, including softball, baseball, track, little league, and tennis. They carry hats, socks, pants, and uniforms, and offer team discounts, too. They also have the largest selection of balls and bats in the area, in stock and ready to go. Riverside Sports has everything your team needs from the dirt up, even in the field maintenance supplies and field signs. Why go anywhere else when you can get it all at Riverside Sports, 940 Kelly Road, where your team identity comes to life.
When the diagnosis is Alzheimer's, the decisions are difficult. Fortunately, there's Country House. Hi, this is Nicole King. Our staff are trained to provide comfort, reassurance, and 24-hour care. 301-777-8717.
Now, back to Saturday Morning Quarterback here on WCBC.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Quarterback. The high-flying Frankfort Falcons, 41-6 over Mountain Ridge. It was homecoming. Tony, I guess they were lights out last night, weren't they?
For about 20 minutes.
Oh, okay.
Lights went out for about 20 minutes. Everyone just kind of chilled out until it was time to start playing again, so there wasn't a lot of panic. I spoke to Athletic Director Jay Hesse after the game. He said something blew up. And the quarterback, Blake Jacobs' dad, was an electrician, and he was able to fix it. He bypassed something. At that point, I don't understand what they're talking about. But something was bypassed, and they got it set up. I think we have a call.
Oh, all right. Good morning. You're on Saturday Morning Quarterback.
Good morning, fellas. I think you make a good point saying that Fort Hill was a 1A team. And as soon as the fans in South Cumberland figure that out, I think they're going to be a lot happier. They seem to be under the illusion that because they're Fort Hill, they can just show up and beat up on anybody, and that's not the case anymore.
Yeah, how was Bridgeport? What did you think of it there?
It's a good atmosphere. They treated us well. There wasn't quite as many visiting seats as I thought there would be, but whenever they have score a touchdown, they set off fireworks in the parking lot, and that was kind of scary to begin with. But I wasn't expecting that, but They're very disciplined. They know what they're doing, and they do it well. And they've got Clydesdales up front and thoroughbreds in the backfield, and they just run over people.
Wow. How about Braylon Younger going out and catching passes? That apparently was a great thing last night for Fort Hill.
Fort Hill's passing game, I mean, you wouldn't know it from the last two games, but they are much better than they've been in the past, and Braylon Younger, despite the competition, is a beast. He did not go down any time last night on first contact. He drug guys with him, and he was very impressive. And I was happy with the fact that, as Tony said, they did not pack it in the second half. They played till the game was over, and there was a lot of good things to see last night. And once they start playing teams their size, I think you're going to see a different Fort Hill team.
I just enjoyed agreeing with the comment I made, which was something that I was told by him early last night.
We all agree. You're in agreement.
It's a lot of agreement. It's good.
Hey,
cohesion is good.
John, so you've been to Hollidaysburg and been to Bridgeport. Which is a better place to go as a fan?
I honestly think Hollidaysburg is a better facility. It's a little shaky on parking, but once you're there, it's a nice venue. It's plenty of seats, concession stands on both sides of the field, and they treat you well. They always like to see Fort Hill because they make a lot of money concession stand for there. Hopefully we can keep them on the schedule. I heard that Allegheny is going to be forced to find a team for them and for Albert Gallatin, and I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, we are too, for a variety of reasons. So, well, that was a very good report, and now Fort Hill's home for a while, so that's good news.
Yes, it is good news, and it'll be interesting to see. I understand North Hagerstown lost last night. That's their first loss, but
right.
What caliber of competition are they playing?
Well, probably 2A, 3A schools, some in the neighborhood, some maybe a little bit of a distance, but I would think Fort Hill can handle them, but I'd just be happy to have a North Hagerstown team come up here that's more competitive than we saw in recent years.
Yeah, they resemble in a lot of ways teams from Pittsburgh sometimes. They'll every 4 or 5 years they'll put a good team on the field, and then
Right. Other
times they look like they're totally inept.
I can give you the North Hagerstown wins.
Okay.
Tuscarora, Manchester Valley, Thomas Johnson, and Central Woodstock. They lost, I guess, last night to Century. So if any of those schools mean anything to anybody, but
it's TJ
too. Well, Century's not usually a power.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, good for North Hagerstown. It's always good to have some competition. So, all right, we'll see you at the Mountain Ridge game next Friday. Thanks for calling. All right,
hey.
Back to our high-flying Falcons. So, homecoming last night, how was the crowd for both sides, Tony?
Oh, crowd was good. I thought the crowd was good for both sides. Mountain Ridge brought a lot of people. They had, They came with a lot of enthusiasm. Cheerleaders were there. Everybody was there. For Frankfurt, I think it was like it wasn't the usual suspects. Carter Shanholtz was out. Caden McKenzie went out early in the game. He actually has a broken leg. He's out for the rest of the year. He's the starting fullback. So Cole Shanholtz will take over for that position. But then it gets shaky after that. And Cole is a good runner, but doesn't have the size of McKenzie. But it was Gunnar Bradshaw was the person who stepped up last night. 4 touchdowns in the first half. 2 through the air from the quarterback Blake Jacobs. He had a rushing touchdown. Had another long pass reception that set up his rushing touchdown, and he had a fumble return for a touchdown. That was 1 of 2 in the game. So it was just an evidence of someone needing to step up, and it was Gunnar Bradshaw's turn to do it, and he was right there. We tend to talk a lot about offense. Doing play-by-play, you focus on offense because you're following the ball, but the defense is the thing that's really keeping Frankfurt in these games, especially when the offense gets a slow start, which was kind of the second week in a row for that.
All right. Brad, let's talk about Mountain Ridge for a minute. Their leading rusher every game seems to be their quarterback, and it's not for many yards. They cannot establish a running game, and that they don't have enough of a passing attack to really sustain it, so it's rough.
I asked the coach pregame, are you a run-first team or a pass-first team? Do you want to guess what he said?
Well, I like Nathan Shipe. I'm going to say he was honest and said pass-first.
He did say that.
All right.
And so I think when you're a pass-first team, it's kind of a mindset. I think you have to have a mindset to run the ball. We're going to dominate you. We're going to run it down your throat. We're going to grit our teeth, and we're going to block you, and you're going to have to stop us. When you come out as pass-first, I don't think you have that. And their runs come out of the quarterback draw, and that's it. They could not blow Frankfurt off the line of scrimmage on a simple run play. I don't think it was any more competitive at times than, say, when Frankfurt played Tucker County. Would you agree?
No. Frankfurt went 3-and-out early and a punt, but after that, Mountain Ridge, the next drive, Mountain Ridge converted on a big third, I think it was like 3rd and 18. On a quarterback run, which a lot of those were broken plays, too. I mean, a lot of those weren't necessarily plans, but a lot of it was. They convert there, and then instead of just, like, trying to figure out a way to move the ball down, methodically, they went for a home run play. They did. It was like a fake reverse end-around halfback pass, and the halfback just tossed it up into the center field, and it was an interception. And after that, it was almost like Mountain Ridge. Brad, you had said this. It was like Mountain Ridge was like, this is the play that's going to put us in this game. And when it didn't happen, they packed it in.
Yep. All right. Just to refer back to, Brad, what you said about you're either a running team and that's your mindset. When Fort Hill had that run last year and they won on the road in the sleet and wind at Cambridge, then when they won at Perryville, I think they trailed in both games at halftime. The mindset was, we're going to give it to Jabril Daniels, and he's going to run it 25 to 40 times, and we're going to win the game. And that is what they did. So,
And it's not just a mental mindset, but it's also what you're asking the offensive line to do.
Right.
If you're passing, then you're dropping back to pass block. And so then to turn on a dime and say, okay, now fire out and start creating holes, you know, to run the ball, it's a different thing to do, and I think it's hard to do both.
Continuing to go back to Mountain Ridge, we looked at their schedule, and we're fearful that they might not get another win the rest of the year.
So we have Kaiser, Fort Hill.
They've got Williamsport coming up. They've got Kaiser, Fort Hill, Williamsport, Northern. So they could run a little bit of a gauntlet. It'll be a very good test, and hopefully the coaches can hold them together and get through the season, because they're going to have a tough game against Fort Hill coming up.
All right. We're going to now head into our final segment after this break. We'll have our number of the night and our booth review. You're listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC.
Nobody knows the Fort Hill Sentinel like 1270 AM WCBC.
Hi, this is Nicole King from the Kensington Assisted Living in Cumberland. We offer a comfortable, safe place to call home for those who need a little extra help or want a carefree lifestyle. 301-777-8800.
Riverside Sports has you covered from head to toe for spring sports, including softball, baseball, track, little league, and tennis. They carry hats, socks, pants, and uniforms, and offer team discounts too. They also have the largest selection of balls and bats in the area, in stock and ready to go. Riverside Sports has everything your team needs, from the dirt up, even in the field maintenance supplies and field signs. Why go anywhere else when you can get it all at Riverside Sports, 940 Kelly Road, where your team identity comes to life.
Parents, what if your high school student could get a jump start on their future and save thousands of dollars in college tuition? At Allegheny College of Maryland, our early college program makes it possible. Students earn real college credit while still in high school, preparing them for career success or a seamless transfer to a four-year university. It saves time and money. It's smart. It's affordable. It's the early college program at Allegheny College of Maryland. Visit Allegheny.edu to learn more today.
Continued sunshine on your Saturday and a bit warmer. High today of 83 degrees. Clear skies tonight, low near 47. Sunday, we're looking mainly sunny. Continued warm, high near 84 with clear skies into the evening and a low near 48. Looking at Monday, the back-to-work, back-to-school forecast. Continued sunshine, high of 85 degrees. Partly cloudy skies overnight and a low near 57.
A highlight from last night in high school sports here on WCBC. Now, back to Saturday Morning Quarterback.
And welcome in. We still want your phone calls at 301-722-8255. It's now time for our number of the night. Mike Connolly, what number would you like to share?
I have three.
All right.
Three is a total number of victories for Allegheny and Fort Hill. Of course, I asked earlier, what was the last time both of those were under, you know, at midseason under 500? Five. All Western Maryland schools are under 500. Allegheny, Fort Hill, Mountain Ridge, Northern, Southern.
Yikes.
And the two Mineral County schools are above 500. Of course, Frankfort undefeated, Kaiser's, you know, what they are.
All right, good job, Mike. All right, Brad.
I just sent an email to Rock, and he said I could have his.
Oh, good.
So, so I'll take – this is Rock's. So for Rock's, it would be four. And Tony touched on this. This young man, Gunnar Bradshaw, I'm sure – he's not well known, but he was a backup quarterback last year, did a great job, came in, he plays defensive back, two running backs go down, he comes in, scores four touchdowns in the first half. This is a young man that just kind of waited his turn, and now he's in there, and he deserves all the credit in the world. Four touchdowns in the first half.
All right, Tony?
Yes. Okay, I'll have two as well. plus nine, so nine is the number, and that's a turnover ratio for Frankfurt right now. They're plus nine. They had four last night, didn't give up any. They finished last season plus 20. So, you know, and that was, they were 14-0, they're 6-0 now. And then the other is 6-7-5, and that is the average yards per carry of the Frankfurt offense right now. They're averaging 6.75 yards a carry.
Good numbers. All right, Garrett.
My number is 40, meaning 40-plus. Last night, Allegheny-Fort Hill gave up 40-plus points to their opponents. Frankfurt scored 40-plus in a win over Mountain Ridge. Two opposite ends of the spectrum in our local area. And here we sit with still a lot of football left to be played.
We sure do. That is true. All right, my number is 17-0. I want to thank Alex for putting that in the paper. The teams that beat Fort Hill are 17-0 on the season.
That is a good number. That's yeah that's.
Well, we give Alex full credit.
Good perspective.
All right. Hopefully he's in bed and didn't hear anything. All right. So now it's time for our booth review, where we ponder things that we saw. We've been really slacking on second guessing. It's been very namby-pamby, but that's okay. It's what we do. All right. You have a booth review, Garrett, after that great intro?
My booth review is on myself. As a play-by-play guy, you determine where you want to set up to have the best viewpoint of the game. We/I picked the back corner of the end zone in the shade. We did a lot of guessing, flying blind, and then also on the first touchdown for Keontae Bible, I totally butchered it. Allegheny has talked about getting him going more, and I wish I would have got that call right. I tried to clean it up, but Keontae had a nice run, and yeah, that's my booth review. It's where we set up.
Well, I think you did great. And folks, if you ever sit in the end zone and you're not up high, which we weren't, there's no way to tell what you are. It's 100 yards. I mean, we had a pretty good, I'd say the 20 and in at our end, we were able to nail it. And yeah, I think I just came up with a booth review, but okay. What do you have, Mike?
Well, my booth review, I mean, I hate to talk about it, but the refereeing last night was terrible. Their ball placement, it looked like they had some fictitious calls, makeup. They were delaying the game, and darkness was setting in. They had one light. It was a street light. And you talk about being on, you know, field level. It reminded me of the time when you and Tom and I broadcasted from his van at Southern when Allegheny played up there. You have no concept of depth. You know, how far did the punt travel? You know, what I mean, it was just, like you say, you don't want to watch either, you know, from the end zone. You want to be up high when you're watching football.
When I used to broadcast Little League with John Cunningham, he'd say, for those of you keeping score at home, and I was like, who is sitting at home with a scorebook? So if anybody last night was saying, oh, I'm charting the game, I'm like, okay. I mean, Mike had a good wrap of plus or minus 50. I mean, we don't know. We just did the best we could. But all right, that was great. Brad, what do you have?
Mike, the booth review is those guys who were referees weren't really referees. They were just at the picnic and came over and put on shirts.
Well, those were the guys who were running the chains.
Literally, the last guy that got there, he got there like 10 minutes before the kickoff. I mean, the other guy, the referees around the field conversing.
Like
so
Oakdale
right.
last year.
Well, the chain gang last year was at St. James. And I must be the private school chain gang. Where last year at St. James, Garrett, the average age of the chain gang was 97.
And that's true.
Two of the chain gang guys went down.
They did. And they did go down.
Honest, they went down.
Oh, man. Oh,
my actual booth review is this. I'm not sold on, hey, we need to play everybody, any and all comers at all time and make our schedule so hard it really helps us. I don't know if that's true. I don't know if it helps getting beat 49-14, and that helps you down the road. Take Garrett's point. You get injuries. You also get your kids accustomed to losing. I don't know to what degree you just want to keep playing any and all comers. I think there's a midpoint. Bridgeport is too big for Fort Hill. I just don't see that helping them.
All right. Very good, Tony.
All right. I have a quick booth review and then a booth projection. So I'm going to do something
projection
in the future. The first, we touched on this earlier, was the lights. The lights went out of Frankfurt for about 20 minutes, and everyone handled it very well. The band kicked in right away and kept people in good spirits. The crowd just kind of milled around.
So the band kicked in like they did on the Titanic.
Well, I wouldn't go that far, but it did keep people in good spirits, waiting for the lights to come back on.
And oh, they were in good spirits on the Titanic.
But the booth review has to be, everybody's looking for lights. We had lights.
Yeah, that's true.
Tony turns the lights on, and everybody starts looking at us, and I said, Tony, turn those lights off.
They were, yes, we were controlling them, yes. All right, booth projection. Frankfurt right now, 6-0. A big test for them coming up is going to be Petersburg, which was 4 in the playoff rankings in 2A. They lost last night to Doddridge County, which is number 8. And later on, Herbert Hoover, which they're going to play on the 24th of October. That is a way for them to measure themselves against Independence. Independence is number 1 in the playoff rankings right now. They're just ahead of Frankfurt, and Independence beat Herbert Hoover at the beginning of the season 37-34. So that's an opportunity for the Falcons to measure themselves as they get ready for a playoff run.
All right. My booth review is going to go back to scoreboard operations. And, Tony, I brought your name up and Mark Nelson's.
Okay.
Didn't you and Mark run the scoreboard at Bishop Walsh?
We did. There was, a season or two where we ran the scoreboard.
Yeah. Might have been more. At any rate, Tony, to put in the down.
Yes.
What does one do with the scoreboard?
If we're on Facebook Live. So you go like this, you go like that.
And then to put in the yard line, if it's on the 49, 4.
Well, that's going
to
be two buttons because it's a double number normally.
And maybe enter. Maybe 49 enter.
And that's normally it.
And then the yard line.
Same thing. Just a couple. That's a number pad. You don't have to know Sanskrit or anything.
So it's very relatively nice AD from Murray walks by, and Tony or Garrett or Mike said, should we say something to her about the scoreboard? I thought, it's not going to do any good. They're just overwhelmed. They're happy to have this field.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't know what schlub they had operating this thing, but of all places, if there was ever a game where we needed somebody to just type in those three numbers, it was yesterday.
And where we set up, the scoreboard was on the other side of the end zone. It was a big scoreboard. And when we set up, I was thinking, that's going to be my saving grace. I'm going to really lean on those on that LED board.
Right.
And I think, like, the first drive I looked over and I was thinking, oh, man.
It's almost like when Ronald Reagan would do games on the radio, he would, like, read, it would be a ticker tape coming through, and then he would just make up the plays as the ticker. So if you'd seen the scoreboard, you could have done it. You know, you could have woven the plays together with your imagination and given the information.
Oh, we used our imagination.
It's a little tough.
We did a different type of weaving.
I think what was funny early on, and Mike, I think you were relying on me and Garrett to give you projections, and then you figured out, I can project how long this pass was or this punt was without these two. So, you know, whatever number you handed us, we went with. But, you know, it was fine. I mean, you know, we did the best we could. And I think we, you know, presented a good broadcast. Garrett's touchdown call was great there. It was fun. It really was fun. All right, your calls are welcome at 301-722-8255. And here we are in mid-October. It's the middle of the season. It really is, and we will be going into November. So Fort Hill could have 6 straight weeks at Greenway now after this gauntlet that they've run, 4 regular season and maybe the first 2 weeks of the playoffs.
That's where they want to be. They want to be at home. They want to be at home for the home stretch, you know, leading into the playoffs and trying to do that. So it's time to just figure things out, take whatever lessons you learn from playing these tough schools and put it in place, get rolling and figure out that identity. They're going to keep trying to throw the ball. I know Noah House is out now with an injury. They're going to try to, you know, just figure out what you're going to do and execute it. It sounded like the passing game was a little bit better, but I think you've got to shore up that rush defense. You're not going to see teams like Bridgeport, but to give up that much, that many rushing yards, it's got to be a concern.
And Hollidaysburg did the same thing in the second half last week. So,
and it was the key. That's what brought Hollidaysburg back, was running the ball.
Brad, that schedule, you know, the thing about football, which is so different than the other sports as far as scheduling, you try to figure out who do I get, who can I get, and that's always a challenge. So I don't know that Fort Hill wants to play that schedule. It's very hard for them to get teams to come up here. But your point is well taken. Now, Todd Apple's first few titles, they really had kind of a cupcake schedule and had all the playoff games at home, and then they go and win the state title. So if you can get schools, remember I read the schedule, and they had Maths and Bowling Brook.
Silver Oak.
The Pittsburgh City Schools. It's a constant struggle to schedule.
I think you obviously look at it from an athletic director's perspective and who you can get and how difficult it is, and I understand that. I guess the mindset maybe by the coaches, we'll play anybody. Maybe that's their mindset. That's admirable. Is it helpful? I don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. Does it help your team to say, we'll take on all comers? We're not afraid to play anybody or any. You put them on the schedule, we'll play them.
Garrett, I would imagine there's some shock among Fort Hill faithful that they have the whole offensive line back. If this was last year when they had a whole new line, you wouldn't be as surprised. But you think we have the line back, we have Braylon Younger, and they're not dominating. So I think it's a surprise to some degree, not that they might lose a game or two, but the way it's taking place.
Yeah, I think it just feels different. When you think about Fort Hill, like we've mentioned on the show already, you think weight room, you think a dominant line where, of course, Fort Hill always puts great athletes in the backfield, but with that line, it makes them even better. It's almost like they're immortal back there running because they have that such a great line in front of them. Offensively and defensively this year, you can point to the schedule and the level of competition. It has just felt like the line of Fort Hill has been mortal. Now, 17-0 are the teams that Fort Hill has lost to. That's a big thing. I think as a spectator, speaking as a spectator, you love to see that Fort Hill has Dunbar on the schedule because based on what we know about Fort Hill coming in every season, they don't rebuild, they reload. Fort Hill's going to be a powerhouse, and we want to see Dunbar come up and beat the hell out of Dunbar. We want to see, us take on Bridgeport at the stadium and run them out and the band playing, Final Countdown and the scoreboards all lit up. Unfortunately, this season, the product on the field hasn't matched that level of we'll play anybody.
All right, now, talking about schedule, Allegheny's four losses, those schools have only one loss. Hollidaysburg, unbeaten. Gallatin, unbeaten. Frankfort, unbeaten. And Murray is now 3-1. So, again, so the schools that Fort Hill and Allegheny have played have one loss that they've lost to, have one loss between them.
And I don't want to come across that like, oh, the sky's falling. Fort Hill lost to Dunbar. Fort Hill lost to Bridgeport. It's over. We're done. Cumberland's done. Fort Hill's done. Fort Hill's going to be fine. I mean, they're a 1A team, and they still hold a December vacation home in Annapolis at Navy Marine Corps Stadium until further notice. Until that changes, they'll be just fine. The problem is the injuries, I think. For me.
Tony, meanwhile, Frankfort's 20-0.
Yeah, so but what I'm curious to do, and I'll have to figure this out for next week, what is the combined record of their opponents? Because it's not going to be as good as what you're talking about with Allegheny and Fort Hill. I mean, Moorfield does not have a win. Hampshire maybe one. Allegheny one win. Tucker County is probably the school on their schedule that has the most wins. They're not playing the same level of competition, and it is worth noting that.
And who do you think is it more important for Fort Hill to get the home field or Frankfort?
I think it's Frankfort. And so far, and we've seen that. We talked about the two games where they've been the shakiest were road games. Very slow start at Moorfield, and obviously a very slow start at Northern. I think it'll be very important for Frank. So, and you mentioned you want to get in that top 16 so you can make it. You really want to be in that top 8 so you can be at home at least one time. And I think it's going to be very important for them. The Petersburg game and the Hoover game loom large.
All right, who's left for Frankfort?
They've got Brook, then Petersburg, then Hoover, then they're off, then Kaiser.
And which of those four teams do you think looms as the biggest challenge?
Hoover is the biggest challenge, but they have them at home. Petersburg is probably the game that have the biggest playoff implications, and they're on the road for that.
And we're going to see Kaiser play Allegheny next week.
And the Tornado are rolling, and they're number 8 in 3A right now in terms of the playoff seeding.
All right. Much to look forward to. Oh, and we have a Thursday night game. A little programming note. The Doc and Rock podcast will be Wednesday. We have high school volleyball Monday night, Allegheny Fort Hill. So we'll have two games on the AM next week, one on the FM. You've been listening to Saturday Morning Quarterback. My thanks to Tony Orndorff, Brad Reed, Mike Conley, and Garrett Egan. Hello to Roxione, Massachusetts. Chris Myers, thank you very much. We'll talk to you next Saturday.
Hey. This has been Saturday Morning Quarterback on WCBC and by the Kensington Assisted Living on Baltimore Street in downtown Cumberland and the Country House, specializing in Alzheimer's and respite care, located on Cumberland Street in downtown Cumberland. Saturday Morning Quarterback is a production of WCBC Radio Sports. All rights reserved.
One of America's great radio stations proudly serving the community since 1976. 1270 AM, WCBC, Cumberland.
Also on the web at WCBCRadio.com. 10 AM, new cars, used cars, all available at Timbrook Kia Motor City. Stop it.